John 16. John 16. I hope this will be a blessing and a comfort. Hope God will be glorified, Christ will be glorified, the Holy Spirit glorified. Three persons of the Trinity, three persons of the Godhead, all are equal. All are God, equally God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But you know, the Holy Spirit is a very mysterious person, isn't it? God is Spirit, God the Father. I feel like I know Him. Christ said He came to make the Father known. He spoke a great deal of the Father. I feel like I talk to and I pray to the Father. I call Him Father. Christ, I feel like I know Him, call on Him, pray to Him. But the Holy Spirit, strange, mysterious person, isn't it? Who can grasp who the Holy Spirit is? But He's a person, isn't it? He's a person like God the Father and like God the Son. Look at verses 8 through 11. He says, when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, of sin because they believe not on Me, of righteousness because I go to My Father. You see Me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Verse 13, when He's come, the Spirit of truth, He has come. He will guide you into all truth. And He went on to say, He shall glorify Me. He'll receive of Mine and show it unto you, the things of Christ. Over in chapter 14, go back there. Our Lord, now the Holy Spirit is mysterious, and yet He says here in chapter 14, verse 17, look at it. The Spirit of truth the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him. It says to His disciples, you know Him, He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That's what He says. Paul wrote, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. He doesn't belong to God. Because God sends the Holy Spirit to every single one of His elect. He's the one that gives new birth. He's the one that, through the gospel, the word, gives life to God's chosen one. Causes them to hear the gospel and gives a heart. The Holy Spirit does that. Everyone is born of the Spirit. So, He says, you know Him. He's mysterious, isn't He? I hope we'll be comforted. He's called the Spirit of comfort, the Comforter and truth, the Spirit of truth. I hope we'll be comforted tonight in believing that we do know Him. He's in us. And He leads us and He teaches us and guides us into all truth. Okay? If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of you. He's called over and over again the Spirit of Christ. Isn't it? The Spirit of God, but more than any other way, He's called the Spirit of Christ. Christ said the Father will send Him to you in His name, Christ's name. So, this is His work. But first of all, let me say this. First of all, I must warn all who hear. Nearly everyone in this room has heard these things many times. Many times. But some who may be listening over the internet, some who may listen later. I must warn all who hear, who might hear later, not to be deceived by what modern religion says of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to say too much about this, but I've got to say something. Much is written in scriptures all through the Old Testament, throughout the prophets, of false prophets and false religion, right? I mean, a great deal is written. Prophets are always warning God's people about idolatry and false prophet. All through the apostles were warning, weren't they? Warning throughout the epistles. didn't it? Paul, one of the last things he said to Ephesus was, grievous wolves are going to come in when I leave. First John. John, it's a small book, isn't it? First John, 5 chapter. He speaks of the love of God and love for one another, but he also speaks of the Antichrist. He speaks tried spirits, doesn't he? He says there's a sin unto death. That's a sin against the Holy Spirit. Our Lord spoke a great deal about false prophets, didn't he? He warned over and over again all the people, beware of scribes, Pharisees. He called them hypocrites. He said many false prophets are gone out in the world, didn't it? Over and over again. So I must at least briefly say something, expose this stuff that's going on. Denounce it, all that's going on in the name of the Holy Spirit. It's another spirit. It's demonic. It's satanic. And I'll show you that. You know it's so. But go with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 is the story of our Lord healing a demoniac in the Gadarene demoniac. And this man sounds like people today under the spell of and possession of the devil, that they call it the Holy Spirit. Mark 5, our Lord came to the Gadarenes in verse 2, he came out of the ship and met him a man out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. He's dwelling among the tombs. All of Roman Catholicism is among the tombs, the dead saints, and so on and so forth. It says that he was bound with chains. That's all men, unless Christ frees them. Well, when the Lord healed this man and drove the Holy Spirit out of him, look down at verse 15. They came to Jesus, when they saw this man that was possessed of the devil and had the legion, he was sitting. He was sitting down. He wasn't jumping up and down, hollering and screaming and wallowing on the ground. He did that before. When Christ removed that evil spirit, he's sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. It says, clothed. I got to believe that's in his righteousness. And he's in his right mind. What's that? Paul said it's the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2. I was going to show you another one. Mark 9. A man brought his son and said, nobody can do anything with him. The devil throws him in the fire. Now all you hear today, acquire the fire, acquire the fire. And our Lord removed that evil spirit from it. It's another spirit. It's antichrist. It's demonic that goes under the name of the Holy Spirit that causes people to speak in an undiscernible gibberish. That's fake. It's phony. People are making this up. It's not the Spirit of God at all. That's not in the Scriptures. The word unknown is in italics. That means it wasn't in the Scriptures. That's another spirit, it's demonic, that causes people to jump up and down and shake uncontrollably and fall into a trance. When the Spirit of God gets a hold of us, He sobers us up, puts us in our right mind. To be filled with the Spirit of Christ is to be filled with the fullness of God. What's the fullness of God? In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of God. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Him dwelleth all the wisdom, or all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Him, to be filled with the Spirit, to be filled with a knowledge of and a love for and faith in Christ. To be anointed by the Spirit. Anointing. Everybody talks about the anointing. What does the name Christ mean? Anointing. The anointed one. When the Holy Spirit anoints you, He's going to talk to you about, He's going to tell you about and fill you with and pour out on you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit says. That's what it means to be filled and anointed with the Spirit. Oh, my. 1 Corinthians 1. Very quickly. I have so many scriptures concerning the Holy Spirit. And they're all related to Christ. Every single one is related to Christ. If you talk, if somebody's talking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and Christ is not mentioned, that's not Him. Not Him. Over in Acts chapter 2, remember when the apostles were filled with the Spirit of God and they spake with other tongues or languages? They weren't speaking an undiscernible, an unknown, that is a language, a spiritual language that nobody knows. Oh no. The people that came there were from all over the world, and they said, we hear these men speaking our language. What were they speaking? The gospel. And Peter got up on behalf of all of them. Simon Peter got up under the power of the Holy Spirit, and he preached Christ and Him crucified. He preached a reigning, ruling, crucified, buried, risen, reigning, and ruling Christ who's to be feared. And it struck fear in everybody that heard it. Thousands. It pricked them in their heart. The message was Christ crucified. That's what the Holy Spirit did. And every single one of them was filled with fear that they were in the hands of this Christ whom they killed. And Peter said, repent. And they did. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess Him. And they all did. And they were filled with joy. Joy in what? Not what. Who? And nobody there went home talking about tongues. Nobody there went home talking about signs. Everybody there went home talking about Jesus Christ. All this Holy Spirit talk, anointing and all this, is a phony if the gospel is not being preached. Now that's a fact. And that needs to be exposed for what it is. 1 Corinthians 1. Oh my, I want to read the whole chapter. But look at verse 4. I thank God. Notice the name of Jesus Christ read on this. I thank my God always on your behalf of the grace of God given you by Jesus Christ. That in everything you're enriched by Him. In all utterance. We speak in a language, all right. We speak a spiritual language, all right. It's the language of Scripture that the world doesn't speak. That religion doesn't speak. Like in this chapter, He's of God, are you in Christ who's made unto us what? Come on. That's a language that religion does not speak. They don't know what you're talking about. What does that mean, be in Him? What does it mean He's made wisdom, righteousness, sanctification? What does that mean? What does propitiation mean? They don't, that's another language. You're talking gibberish to them. It's the heart and soul of the gospel. Verse 6, the testimony of Christ was confirmed to you. Verse 6, look at it. The gospel of Christ was confirmed to you. That's the gift. You come behind in no gift. You're waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the coming of the Holy Spirit. He's already come. And He's in you and with us and in us. What's He doing? Taking the things of Christ and showing them. Look at verse 17. Paul said, I'm sent to preach the gospel. The cross of Christ. Verse 18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He said, I'm determined not to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified. Every time he got up, he didn't talk about the Holy Spirit. He talked about the gospel of Christ. And all who do preach Christ, 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 the gospel of Christ, the Holy Spirit is the one that's doing that. You see? He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22, we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called Jews and Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And in verse 30, we quoted verse 30, verse chapter 2. Look at now 2 Corinthians 2, or 1 Corinthians 2 talks about the Spirit, doesn't it? Look at it. Verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2:10. God hath revealed the things of God unto us by His Spirit. See that? It hadn't entered into the heart of man, natural man, but He has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. See that? The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What things? What did Christ say? All things of God are mine. He's going to take the things of mine and show them to you. Are you with me? Do you know all this? That means you have the Holy Spirit. You have been anointed. He dwells with you and in you. He's leading and guiding you in all truth. What's truth? He's the Spirit of truth. Christ said, I am the truth. Didn't it? So, look at verse 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. Which things we speak, the things of God, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. The natural man doesn't receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. What did he just say was foolishness? What did he just say was foolishness? The gospel. Preaching the gospel. That's what he just said in chapter 1. They can't be known or spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, verse 15, judges or understands all things. But he's not judged. He himself judged or discerned of no man. Who's known the mind of the Lord? The man instructed. Here it is. We have the mind of Christ. Man, it should have put a smile on somebody's face. There it is. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's His work. That's what He's sent to do. Take the things of Christ. Bear witness of Christ. Bear witness of our spirit that we're sons of God. How's that? Through Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Go back to John 14. Listen to this. Paul said this in Romans 15. Whatsoever things are written. Now we just read about the things of God. Foolishness to the Jew. And stumbling block to the Jew. And foolishness to the Greek. Foolish to the natural man. He said, Paul said, whatever things are written. Whatsoever things are written for our learning. That we through patience and comfort of Scripture. Christ, the Spirit is called the Comforter. Right? That we through comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Okay? Whatsoever things are written. What's the Bible all about? What did Christ say? They are they which testify of me. All things are written in the prophets concerning Christ. Right? That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. What's our hope? Jesus Christ. He's our hope. He's our hope. My hope, and I believe yours too, is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ's blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame of feeling, but wholly lean on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that your hope? Is He your hope? Well, you got a good hope. And He's within the veil, John. And you're seated with Him. You know what that means, don't you, people? Don't you? You know what that means. You know, a few people know what that means or even care. Me and I were talking at the table this afternoon. Talking about 1 Corinthians 1:30 and righteousness. You know how few people know what that means or even care or put any significance on or importance on? The average person would say, that doesn't matter. Wouldn't it? You ask them, do you have a righteousness? You have to have a righteousness to get to God. You can't establish your own. God demands a righteousness, and you don't have it. All yours are filthy rags. You know what that means, John Davis, don't you? And that's what you believe in your heart. Who did that? The Spirit of God. He's in you. He's in you. He didn't make you talk like an idiot. He made you talk about Christ and His righteousness. That's what David said in Psalm 71. I'll make mention of thy righteousness and thine only. Didn't he? Said it over and over and over again. Oh, we're so blessed. This, you receive the anointing. He's taken Christ, the gospel of Christ, and showed you. He's called, look at John 14, the Comforter. Verse 16, I'll pray the Father, He'll give you another Comforter. Christ was their Comforter. What He's saying is that they didn't need the Holy Spirit while He was with them, because He and the Spirit are one, and while He's there, He is their Comforter, right? He is guiding them in all truth. He is the truth. But when He leaves, He sends the Holy Spirit to be with them always. He's Comforter. He guides in all truth. He's teaching them all that. In fact, He's going to bring things. Christ says, you can't bear what I'm telling you right now, but when He comes, He's going to bring back to your memory everything I said. And they're all going, I remember what He said. I remember what Christ said. I remember what He did. I know what that's all about. That's the Spirit of God. Bringing up the things of Christ. He's called the Spirit of Truth, verse 17 of chapter 14, the Spirit of Truth. Why is that? Because He speaks of Christ, who's the truth. The truth of the gospel. Word of truth, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Alright, now go back to chapter 16. Now look at this. We read it. Our Lord says, it's necessary I go to send the Comforter to you. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a man right now. He's God. But He's a man. That's comfort. He's the God-man. He's the only God we'll ever see. He's the only God that we'll ever handle, we'll ever touch, we'll ever hear His actual voice. But He and the Father and the Spirit are one. But He's all the fullness of the Godhead bodily is in Christ. Okay? Christ went back to the right hand with the majesty on high after He finished His work as a man, poured out His blood, shed His blood for the remission of our sins. That's what put away the sins of God's people. Nothing more, nothing less. The blood of Jesus Christ. And the righteousness that He established and performed, keeping the law, that's what made His people righteous. That's it. Nothing else. Nothing more, nothing less. And He went back after finishing His work and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's where He sits right now, reigning and ruling with His feet on the circle of the earth. Controlling, you know, bringing His people in. He sends the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's Spirit. He's omnipresent. The Spirit is omnipresent. What does that mean? He's everywhere at the same time. He's in every one of God's people. When He says Christ in you, that's the Spirit of Christ in you. Okay? That's a new creature in Christ that's in you. Now, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of the Comforter. While our Lord was with His disciples, everything He said to them was comforting, wasn't it? Everything He said to them was comforting. He kept comforting them by, what was He comforting them with? Telling them who He was. I am. He kept telling them, I am. Well, show us the Father. I am. He kept telling them what He came to do. Didn't He? He kept telling them that for their comfort. He kept telling them that He came for them. Didn't He? He told them future things. He declared the end from the beginning. He told them what was going to happen to him, what was going to happen to them. He said, when it happens, you'll know I said it. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I do, I'm going to come again and receive you. And he did. That was their comfort. And he kept telling them over and over again, be of good cheer. Peace. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. In the world you have tribulation. He told them you're going to have all kinds of fiery trials and troubles and tribulations. Be of good cheer. What? What's going to comfort us? He said, I have overcome the world. I run this place. Anything that happens to you, I did it. It is I, Christ said. It's comforting. Isn't that comforting? That's comforting. He is our comfort. The Spirit of God keeps telling us over and over again the same things that Christ said to us. He keeps reminding us of who Christ is, what He came to do, where He is now, and the promise that He's coming back for you. That's comforting. In the midst of a sinful, troubling world, our comfort in all of this is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, He reigns and rules. Jesus, He's the Savior. He came to save, and He did it. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's coming back for His people. Take them into His kingdom. That's comforting. It's called the Spirit of Truth. Look at verse 8. When He's come, He will reprove. Here's the truth in three verses. Here's the essence of who Christ is, what He came to do, and the gospel. When the Spirit comes, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Now, like John 3:16, God doesn't love every single person in the world, does He? No, God said He didn't. He named several people He didn't love. But He loves the people out of every kindred, nation, and tongue under Him. Out of the world. A world full of people. When the Spirit of God comes, He will convince every single person that God has chosen, every single person Christ died for that's in the world. Jew, Gentile, every kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven. In the world, He'll convince every single one of them of the same things. Three things. Convict them, convince them, reprove them. Number one, sin. Sin. You know, I'm quite sure that religion, if they listen to us on the radio or whatever, listen to you, talk to them, they believe we talk too much about sin. And I'm here to tell you, and you know it's so, they don't say anything about it. Do they? It's almost like, in fact, there is no sin. God loves you exactly like you are. Isn't that what they're saying? That's a lie. You've got to be as holy as God for God to love you. You don't understand. While we were yet sinners, God loved us in while we were sinners. God considered all His people in Jesus Christ before they were ever born. Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. When God said they're holy and righteous and justified in Christ, when He said that, it's done. It's going to happen. He considered them in Christ from the beginning. Sin. The first thing the Holy Spirit does to every single child of God is convict them of sin. If any man say he hath no sin, there's no light in him, no truth in him. The gospel hasn't heard him. Sin is what we are in. But our nature, by our nature, it makes us do what we do. Sin in us makes us commit sins. Both are evil. God will judge men for what they are and what they do. Both. Can't separate the two. What's God got to do? Well, that's my second point. I can stay right here with you. Number one, He said sin because they what? Believe not on me. Now, there was a time when I did not, I believed in the historical person Jesus Christ. I believed in the facts of the doctrine. I believed, in my head, I believed.
I didn't believe on Christ. I didn't love Christ. I didn't cast my soul on Him. I didn't repent and call on His name. I didn't confess Christ. Oh, no, I really didn't believe Christ. I didn't believe His words were life or death. I didn't believe that I needed Him more than anything. I didn't believe that. I do now. Don't you? I do now. What happened? God sent the Holy Spirit. Religion. Religion doesn't believe on the Christ of Scripture. Do they? Oh, no. It's the wrong one. It's another Jesus. When He comes, the Spirit of God comes, He'll convince, He'll reprove every child of God of sin because they believe not on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He does, they will. They will. They believe on Him. Verse 10. When He comes, He'll convince, reprove, convict of righteousness. Righteousness. Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Listen to these scriptures. Listen to them. Acts 17:31. God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. By what? That man whom He hath ordained. Jesus Christ. Everybody's got to be as good as Jesus Christ. Christ said, I go to the Father. I'm going back to God. Psalm 24, open the gates. Who can go into that? Clean hand, pure heart. Who can? Who went? Who'd the gates open up for, John? The King of Glory. Come on in. He's righteous. He's holy. And God said, well done. Sit down at my right hand. I'm well pleased for thy righteousness' sake. And why did He do all that? For the glory of God and for us. He made a righteousness to cover His people in. A robe of righteousness. The king's daughter is all glorious within. She'll come to the king in wrought work of gold. Somebody wrought it. Somebody worked it. Somebody made this garment. It's without seam. It's without spot. It's without blemish. Who made it? Jesus Christ did it. And He robed like the prodigal son. The first thing God does to a sinner that He brings in repentance is bring the best robe and do what? Put it on him. Jeanette and I were reminded of what the New King James Version says, which is a perversion. Over in Revelation 19, it says that the church was granted that she would be arrayed. That means somebody put clothes on you. Right? Arrayed. It was granted unto her she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Not the righteousness of the saints, but the righteousness of saints. This fine linen, this wedding garment. Who made this? Where'd we get it? It's the righteousness of Christ. The New King James Version says, the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. They're wearing a garment they made. Look what I've done, Lord. Aren't you pleased? You know what the Lord say to that person? Bind him hand and foot and cast him out of here. That takes away Christ's glory. His righteousness. They stripped Him to clothe us. That ain't doctrinal error. It's blasphemy, isn't it? It's you don't know the truth if you don't know that. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God reveals the wedding garment, the robe of that we wear, the righteousness that Christ made for us and covers us in. Adam and Eve both knew. They both knew as they sat there trembling, thinking God's going to kill us both. We're guilty. We've sinned against God. But God, but Christ, who was in the garden, they heard the voice walking, and he came and he took a lamb and slit its throat and slit it and took its skin off of it. And Jesus Christ wrapped both those sinners in that. They had nothing to do with that. They were arrayed. They were covered. Love covereth. This ain't doctrine. This is Christ. This is the truth. We don't worship doctrine. We worship the Christ who was stripped for us and who covers us his own precious blood. Judgment. And our Lord said, no man comes unto the Father but by me. And I go to the Father, and there's one way you're going to get to the Father. Christ said, one way. It doesn't matter who it is on planet Earth. Jew, Gentile, Muslim, Hindu, it doesn't matter. There's one way to get to God the Father and for him to be your Father. That's in Jesus Christ. And then he says, he'll convince, he'll reprove, he'll convict of judgment. Look at it. Judgment, verse 11, because the prince of this world is judged. You remember back in chapter 12, he says, now is the judgment of this world. Remember that? We looked the whole message at that. Armageddon. He said, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. What's that talking about? What is he talking about? Judgment. The prince of this world is judged. What is the judgment all about? God's going to judge all people in two men. In Adam, all died, condemned, cast out. In Christ, all made alive. Second Adam from above. What was the top lady's Christmas carol? Anyway, second Adam from above. Bruised the serpent's head. That hark the herald angels? Well, but Christ came to do battle with the prince of this world. The first mention of the Holy Spirit in the Gospels when Christ was baptized. You see that? The Holy Spirit descended on him at like a dove and said, he saith, this is he. God from heaven said, this is he. That's the Holy Spirit from the beginning. The next mention of the Holy Spirit is he led Christ into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. You see, he's the captain of our salvation, Kelly Pendrick. He's our covenant head. He's the second Adam. He's got to do battle with the Satan. I can't do it. I'm under his bondage. I'm captivity. I'm in captivity to Satan from birth. What's my hope? You see, the Holy Spirit takes and shows you that Christ for you met your adversary head on. Did he win? Oh, yeah. On the cross, he bruised his head. He took captivity. Me. Captive. A stronger than he. Prince of this world's cast out. There's a judgment. There's a judgment for all human beings. All human beings are going to stand either judged in their own merits, with their own works, or in Jesus Christ. Which do you want to be judged for? And the prince of this world, the God of this world, he's making everybody except God's people believe that if you turn over a new leaf and you do this and you do that and you try your best and you're sincere, it doesn't matter what you believe, you go to God and he'll accept you. Mm-mm. That's devilish. That's demon doctrine. That's doctrine of devil. That's what Satan wants you to believe. The Holy Spirit, that's God, comes with the truth. The truth of sin, righteousness, and judgment. If you get to God, it'll be by Christ. If your sins are gone, it's by Christ. If you stand in the judgment, uncondemned, no condemnation, it's in Christ. And if you've been delivered from the god of this world, Christ did it. It's all Christ. It's all Him. Every single thing the Spirit teaches and does is all about Jesus Christ. Okay, stand with me.